I am Patrick Boggs. I like to call myself Rocky's daddy. Rocky is a real person. We take Rocky as a nickname from Roku Rota. That's his name. Rocky is old man. Yes, I am old. I don't mind being old. It's better than being dead. I'm writing a book, and I hope to self-publish and still make it available through Barnes & Noble, a worthy bookseller in the United States of America. Barnes & Noble, copied from a website of top sellers. I'm just going to talk about the top 12. Here we go. Number one. A very stable genius, Donald J. Trump's Testing of America. Written by a team, Philip Rucker and Carol Leonig. It is the number one bestseller. Number two, Suffer Strong, How to Survive Anything by Redefining Everything. Sounds interesting. American Dirt at number three, Barnes & Noble Book Club Edition. Number four, House of Earth and Blood, written by Sarah Maas, M-A-A-S. Number five, The Next Level Basic, The Definitive Basic Bitch Handbook. Sword of Destiny is number six, and it's one of the Witcher series, which I know nothing about. The writer is Andrzej Sapkowski. Is that a Russian name? I wonder, but I think the book has been translated to English, I guess. Number seven. The antithesis, maybe, of the number one. Number seven is Profiles in Corruption. Abuse of Power by America's Progressive Elite. Written by Peter Schweizer. Schweizer? Schweizer. Number eight, Smoke Bitten. Written by Patricia Briggs. Number nine is Open Book. What a title for a book written by Jessica Simpson. Maybe I've heard of her. Number 10, The Tower of Swallows, another in the Witcher series, written by the same guy whose name I won't try to say again. Number 11, A Private Cathedral, written by James Lee Burke. Number 12 is one that I thought might not be on the bestseller list because it peaked as a bestseller many, many, many years ago. To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee. And maybe the sales of that book have been juiced by the fact that it is a play on Broadway. Mockery rocks, I am Rocky's dad, and I read to you from a piece written by Bob. Bob writes for the Boston Globe. The moment I remember best about the 1999 impeachment trial of President Bill Clinton was a voice suddenly booming from the spectator section of the balcony in the Senate chamber. The trial was a messy exercise in American democracy, a prosecution born of a president's scandalous attempt to extricate himself from the fallout over his affair with a White House intern. As television networks aired gavel-to-gavel coverage of the historic 5-week trial, I was posted in the balcony press gallery, that's not me, Rocky's daddy, that is Bob Holler, of the staff of the Boston Globe. He was reporting for the Globe. Perched over the shoulder of the presiding judge, Supreme Court Justice William Rehnquist, he kept watch as 100 senators serving as jurors sat at their finely polished mahogany desks. Then came the moment as partisan advocates below argued at great length over whether Clinton should be the first president forced from office for high crimes and misdemeanors, and exasperated spectators seemed to speak for a weary nation when he blurted, "God Almighty, take the vote and get it over with." Some 21 winters later, the protesters' message may come to resonate with much of the nation as the Senate passes judgment on another impeached president. This time, Donald Trump is the defendant, and the so-called smoking gun is not former White House intern Monica Lewinsky's DNA-stained blue dress, but evidence that Trump allegedly betrayed his oath and abused his power by coaxing a foreign government to investigate a political rival. We were so much younger in 1999, the nation and the writer, he says I say the writer, Bob, in the years since I've stood in the toxic smoke of the collapsed Twin Towers on 9/11, witnessed the rise and power of social media in the time of Twitter, and welcomed the birth of a biracial grandson during America's first African-American presidency. This time, Representative Ayanna Pressley, a Massachusetts Democrat who was an aide to then-Senator John Kerry during Clinton's trial, pushed for Trump's impeachment by delivering her own civics lesson draped in red, white, and blue. What we are doing here today is not only patriotic, it is uniquely American. Pressley said on the House floor, "America is a story of ordinary people confronting abuses of power with a steadfast pursuit of justice." Partisans in both eras, as if raising the Bible with one hand and the Constitution with the other, were not enough, have cited literary masters of dystopia. Notable among them in 1999 was then Representative William Delahunt, a Quincy, that means Quincy, Massachusetts Democrat, who fought for Clinton on the House Judiciary Committee with two other Democratic members from the Bay State, the rumpled, pugnacious, and brilliant legislative technician Barney Frank, and the future president of the University of Massachusetts, Martin Meacham. Delahunt, while decrying House Republicans for rushing to impeach the president over sexual indiscretions, invoked George Orwell, Franz Kafka, and Soviet show trials, as if Alexander Solzhenitsyn himself, long imprisoned in a gulag for expressing his political views, could feel Clinton's pain. To me, the real America is a land where, Every person, whether pauper or president, is accorded due process of law, the silver-haired Delahunt said. Should it be, then, any surprise that in December the Democratic-controlled House Judiciary Committee cited two of the same literary lions in its impeachment report, addressing the president's claim that the inquiry was illegitimate, the committee perhaps hyperbolically stated, "It is not hyperbole." To describe this reasoning as a better suited for George Orwell or Franz Kafka than the office of the president. Bob Holler was the writer. I was just a reader. Often when I read to you, I tell you that I don't read the whole thing. If you want the whole piece, as written by Bob, you should go to the Boston Globe Online. That is BOSTONGLOBE.com. Look for Bob. Search him there on that newspaper's website. And Bob goes on, what I reported then could ring true today. As the impeachment debate roils in the Senate, a nation riven by scandal, government discord, and political polarization may yearn for a measure of tranquility and a good night's sleep. Not that anyone in Boston would care, but the New York Giants quarterback Eli Manning has decided to retire after 16 seasons. And that's the long and the short of any sports news that I should put on Mockery Rocks. I want to thank you so much for listening, as I know you have. You wouldn't be here at this moment had you not listened to what went before. However, I'm confusing myself about the idea of moving everybody from the regular free feed of the podcast Mockery Rocks as we attempt to move everybody over the course of weeks or months over to Patreon, where you pay a little money, just a little, to get Mockery Rocks. Patronize us by being a patron through Patreon, and now I can say thank you for listening, and please maintain your cool.